And they said that I had to have conservators, and I had to have this help. And I believe Audrey's still the responsible personal party. So I have to now hire somebody else, or Patricia will no longer work for free. So I want good hours. I want them turned over to that conservator, and that person gets paid first. Now, what will happen is John won't end up with anything, because the last thing that's going to go is a conservator's fee. But when this happens, the first thing that's going to leave is a conservator and that lawyer. And the last papers that were filed in pro per, and John made his own appearance in court, and he went in there and signed the documents. So he can't be all that bad. No matter what they're hearing anywhere else in all this world, John is certainly stable enough to make a trip in and sign his name. That's what they're afraid of, that John's going to get better enough before they can do something else to keep his property. Well, that is not my business. But it is your business. It is your business. You have struggled. What would John do if John ran away today? His family denied him. His son denied him. This isn't threatening. This is that we're all in these kinds of situations together. It doesn't mean we're a group. It means that we care. But John has to help himself. Because if they can prove that he is not stable enough or unable to tend himself, they're going to require he go into a home of some kind. And maybe that's what he would like to do, where it is established. But you see, that does not mean an Alzheimer's center where you're imprisoned. If he wants to be in a place where there is more care than he can get alone, that should be his choice. And it should be some place loving, where you retire, you're not put in prison, while other people take your things. So I'll get off John's back. But I mean it. And Jean isn't here to hear it. Paul has volunteered hours of time trying to intermediary this problem. These are people just giving of their love and their time for nothing in return. So don't be hard on the ones, John, that are doing what they can and are fighting this kind of a thing while they're trying to help you. Now, some of the things that really hurt are having experienced George Abbott and what he literally has done to Leon and what his whole history is. He is a politician, and he is recognized in the community behind Snickers. The letter here, this is from Ann Beam. This is what I'm saying. Everybody, listen to me. They have the contact before it gets mailed out. And here Ann has written to George Abbott, Precious attorney, and it comes back to Charles Neal from George Green. Now let's read Ann's. After Leon read some of today's contact aloud, he and I got into a discussion once again. Isn't there anything that can be done to put a sock in it? Their mouths. I effort diligently not to give them or any part of their non-group any energy. It becomes more and more difficult when I see what it does to Leon. It hurts to see and feel his pain and anger. It frustrates me when I see what they say to an honorable person such as yourself and also Dave Horton. Is this ever going to be over, I'm sure, is what's meant. Now let's talk about Dave Horton. George went into a bankruptcy court, that is a federal court, and he lied with the impetus being supported by Dave Horton, and for a lawyer to go into a court and even know his client is lying is ground for disbarment. But to structure the story in such a way that it is obviously Dave Horton coming up with the lies, or at least half of them, that is unthinkable criminal charges. Now, that has nothing to do with Ecker. And what is this about? George filed bankruptcy and did all this incredible lying, of which one of the things that he said was that he has nothing to do with distributors and they own the books, and then he finally gets around to saying there's only one book and that is the only one that Desiree wrote. It's in question. He had just said in one court he's worth $5 million and then he goes to the bankruptcy court and says he's broke. And then he says, I don't have anything to do with distributors and they own this and they own that. And yet here is a paper that says America West Distributors sent out to Charles Neal, signed by George Green. There are no alter egos here, but I wonder about the alter ego here. Back to Ann. They have a forum for spouting lies, lies, and more lies. They have a forum for personal unfounded vendettas. Yeah, right. They only have the Associated Press. I have never seen a bunch of individuals who have no conscience, who can lie, cheat, and steal, then sleep like babies at night. Well, number one, I don't know how the hell she knows how anybody sleeps. This must stop. How much more do you, Leon, Dave, and George have to take? Cannot something be done legally at least to shut them up? And or at least make them print word for word without comment Leon's side of the story. How in the hell do I do it better than this?
We already have.
Over and over. My apologies, George. I could no longer stand by and say nothing. I guess I have a small right. Since, was it last week or the week before that they reiterated the untruth about me too? Love to you and Mary. Meaning his wife. He is divorced. His wife could not live with him longer. And that was discussed on the day of the deposition. She and Dorma had a nice long visit. Women, you know. It's signature. Ann Beam. A-N-N-B-E-A-M. I don't know how to give her more credit. Friend and roommate of the fabulous Leon Fort. I guess now we have everybody witness big writing. I guess they are ignoring the fact that they've committed promissory note fraud. Why? Because somebody didn't write a check and give it away to somebody else's corporation or something? And regardless of how much he might have in, how much do you think is left after having to defend this? And this is something George Abbott says, oh, and they are just using up and using up and using up more money on their Ecker case. It is not the Ecker case. The Eckers wouldn't really have to spend a dime. They can go in proper. A corporation, by law, when sued, has to have a certified, licensed bar club member attorney. So now, you take out whatever Leon's estate or family might have had and you start deducting legal fees, which must have added up for George Abbott, because George Abbott on that same day said, I fully intend to retire on the case I have going in Italy for 7 years. It's going to be multi-millions, and this one. This was a threat. It was also mid-afternoon after about 14 drinks where he couldn't stand. He fell into the table. We all had to stop the deposition that Leon was partially paying for to look at the blackbirds and look at the clouds floating by. And we had to discuss 12-foot ceilings just for you people in Tehachapi. Well, I see that you are prepared with a proper-sized microphone, and I appreciate it. I didn't need the 12-foot ceiling. Now, I can do this all the rest of the day, but I don't think that you want to spend your time doing this. But, you see, it's gotten down to the nitty-gritty hard strokes, my friends. George Green has been sending out his packets to everybody. And it doesn't even matter anymore who's sending them out, because you cannot tell. They don't sign them. This one's signed. It would be obvious where it came from. Why would he send it to Charles Neal? What in the world is going on? But the one that really frosts everybody is so many people have written to Jerry Spence, for which we're very grateful. And Jerry has responded very beautifully. He now has a television or a radio program, and in some areas that's also televised. Jerry doesn't really know what to do. But guess what? Somebody called and said they had just received this package from Bozeman, Montana, saying that there was no point in Eckers going to Jerry Spence because he wouldn't help them. Because Jerry is a good friend of Bo Greitz, you see, from the Weaver incident. And Bo will tell him, you know, how it is. You won't get any help from Jerry Spence. Well, Doris got a little miffed about that. You see, that took a few days. And then she said, and somebody made a remark at supper, why don't you write on your own behalf, for goodness sakes? The rest of us are trying to do something. Why don't you do something for yourself? So she wrote. But I don't think it got sent, because all the mail was being held and possibly it got faxed. I don't know. If it didn't, I want it sent, because I asked them to dig this out. Now I'm going to tell you why it's important. Everybody see this? Everybody see this? You're not going to know this one. Who is this one? Especially all you women know. This, on the front of National Geographic, is A.C. Ecker, E.J.'s brother. Robert Redford is an extremely close friend. He became a close friend because of this man. This one is Eddie Joe Ecker's father. This is probably one of the finest men that ever set foot on the face of the earth. It was so recognized by Robert Redford that when Arthur died, he chartered a plane and flew from New York. Actually, I believe he was even going on to Japan. He flew in just to do a eulogy at Arthur Ecker's funeral. The Eckers own a homesteaded place called Robber's Roost. It is in, actually, it borders the Canyonlands National Park, so that the government basically has taken over most of the grazing rights and things. Had been in the family for a very, very long time. There are not finer people in your world. And to have this kind of garbage go to other people that are so respected as these ones respect Jerry Spence is unacceptable. And Dorma did write. Doris wrote to Jerry Spence. And I want that sent, and I want this magazine. I don't want some copy sent. And this doesn't tell the story like this one. After that, Redford wrote his own book. And his life was changed by this relationship. When it came time to do Sipapu Odyssey, these people got in touch with him. He sent word back through his secretary that he couldn't do it. He said, I am absolutely tied up in contracts for 7 years. And he said, Marcy, these are my close friends, and I cannot ask them to wait 7 years. We might as well have waited 7 years, mine lived. Well, we haven't heard the last of it. It is painful when these things like extraterrestrial financial advisors and taking $110,000 of Luke Perry's money. Luke Perry has absolutely zero interest in the Institute, period. And I don't give a damn what George Green says. Ecker is not the Institute. And, of course, here comes this one that came to Ed Young, this answer to the Bar Association claiming all of these attachments to the Phoenix Institute, etc., with both Rick Martin and Moorhead. They are at contact. If you let your corporations fold, it's your fault. God always gives you the way. That's what God is about. You petition for the way He offers. And most men come back and bite the hand that just fed them. Now, when this whole thing started with George Green and problems, they literally stole the original notes. The Phoenix Institute issued duplicate notes, and it was wondered at the time why Eleanor was so upset when immediately notes were replaced. She had taken them. And then Patricia turned up with 5 pages or something like that, and then go to deposition, and Mr. Horton spreads out 7 pages of original notes. So they not only set up Patricia, but they were going to say that Dorma had signed those papers. And guess what was interesting about them? George Green was the trustee for John and Eleanor Schrafer.
That's what I thought. They kept it from me.
A lot was kept from you, John. And a lot you just did. You just did. I don't know what to say. Do you want us to get up here and lie? That's not my bag. I will leave it to the Khazarians. They seem to do a damn good job of it. I'm getting tired of it. And yet I don't think we want to lose the camaraderie of being able to come over here and have a piece of cake and a dish of punch and meet with our friends that care enough about us to take the paper and they pay for it. And they share. And they act like on this other side that somehow this is an evil empire over here. Well, they're not going to push hard enough that Mr. Ecker, who is treasurer, is going to bend enough to meet anything that is not adequately covered. That is his responsibility, and I do not care what you come and nail him with. He will not bend. He will try to meet every obligation that is asked of him. It has not been long ago. This is the way your economy is getting into such serious, serious trouble. This is such a good plan that has been worked out and that George Green calls a Ponzi scheme. It was his plan. But he didn't plan to do it this way. EJ's made it work. And EJ built a reputation. And he built it with the most important bankers and metals dealers in the world. Makata and Standard and Charter. The oldest, most staid international banks in the world. And they said it. They had only ever had two accounts like this. And they were going to get out of these because they were going to merge banks. Makata wanted to get out of their commitment. They didn't want to do this kind of business anymore. Metals were getting very volatile. They knew they were going to go up. Let's just face it. They are. And the banking world is just in a miserable mess. So they got the word right from London to close this account. Now guess who is going to have the responsibility of finding another bank? Finding another metals dealer. And it was 24 hours around the clock while EJ tracked it down. But he did it. He found another one closer to home. And if there was any hanky-panky going on, don't you think, while all of this was being shifted, it would have surfaced? No, sir. It is a superb relationship, and they look forward to doing more and more and more business. And that's the way it's going to stay. And I don't care how many cases you lose before a judge somewhere because they get away with sending this kind of garbage into a court of law when they ought to be put in jail. And George says, oh, he hopes the Eckers get exactly what they deserve, and that is being put in prison. For what? Trying and then finally succeeding in pulling out his dirty scam laundry. I'm going to repeat something. Ecker gets blamed for everything, from Leon Fort, and Ecker got saddled when George Green took off
with the gold,
calling it a Ponzi scheme, and it's right there on his stationery, the entire program. Now, I resent having to give precious time to this subject, and I know that you who come to visit are sick of hearing family laundry. Hindsight is always good, but we're not through. This sort of thing, this thing for Man Beam, every one of you on any mailing list or phone list can expect to have one of those copies sent to you. That's how little respect for privacy there is. But I'm telling you, this name, Ecker, and these relationships like this, this is one of your finer, better, environmentalist, caring people, Robert Redford. He is a genuine, genuine human being. And this name is not going to go down sullied in anything that George Green puts his hand to. Now, that's just the way it's going to be. And I don't care how long it takes. And anyone can go align with him that wants to. I am not against anybody. I am not fighting anybody. We need to build. And I'm going to say something else that may shock you very greatly. As far as I am concerned, he can go to hell. Dr. Young, go get him. He has a paper. Well, while we're waiting, I'll just take this cult magazine a little bit farther. I think that I would like to read this onto the record. Speaking of George Green and the Phoenix Liberator. Now, this is a brand new magazine. This is a May, June. This would be their last magazine. This is how well they keep up. George Green and the Phoenix Liberator, exposed for some anti-Semitic bias. See UFO Volume 7, Number 3. Investment banker and real estate man Green at one time apparently sponsored the incendiary cant of E.J. and Doris Ecker. The latter, who claims to be in contact with the powerful and spiritually eclectic Hatton, H-A-T-T-O-N. I'm sorry, I don't know this person, so stick with us. A Pleiades sector of the Ashtar Command. Hatton supposedly stands watch over the troubled earth while in spaceship orbit. The pot called the kettle black when Hatton's right-wing newsletter, the Phoenix Liberator, which espouses his allegedly channeled material, was accused of plagiarism by Milton William Cooper and others. Now, that's interesting because Milton Cooper, we have also run articles in this famous Liberator on Milton Cooper's rebuttal to Don Ecker of UFO, who has since married Vicky, who is the editor of this journal. Mr. Cooper must have written a 25-page rebuttal, at the end of which he was so sloshed he couldn't write anymore. People don't like to hear the truth, do they? And that's the only weapon we have. That is the only weapon we ever need. At last report, dissension in the ranks has cut into Hatton's, or at least Ecker's, standing among those who prefer their political propaganda from outer space. Well, thank God. Green, whose wife Desiree is now in constant contact with Hatton, also deals in the dire millennial predictions that Mount Rainier will blow as one of them. Now, I will go back to precious Billy Meyer and his thousands of pictures. Billy Meyer doesn't have any pictures. He maybe got left with 10. He discovered all of them were gone right after George Green was there, and George Green will go on a stage and say, I have at least 1,200 pictures of Billy Meyer's pictures. I am not going to discern either he lied then or he's lying now. I am telling you what has been said by both parties. An original UFO document was taken from the Eckers household. It doesn't matter to us who took it. It was not theirs. It belonged to a gentleman in the motion picture industry called Jerry Popper. It was an original silver medallion edition, and it was given to him by the astronaut Gordon Cooper. And it was inscribed, Dear Jerry. He had loaned it to these ones. I am now going to tell you that other people out there in George's audience have seen that. Or at the very least, he has said he has it. an inscribed volume inscribed by Gordon Cooper. Well, it's missing. And yet, Eckers are the liars. I'm sorry, it's unacceptable. I need two things from Dr. Young. I need to discuss this tape, and then I would like to hear what Soltech is writing, so that maybe we can get back into focus what we're about. I expect to hear plenty from today. But I'm going to tell you nice people something I don't want to bother with any more of these responses. And if we can't get attorneys to do a worthy job and shut this trash down. You see, you cannot even pick up the phone if you have an attorney. You cannot even pick up the phone and call Leon. These ones are basically legally barred from being able to say, "Hi, Leon, let's get together and talk about this stupidity." If you don't clean up your judicial system, it is going to cost your world. Ed would not have been here when Joan told us what she got on her answering machine. And you can talk about it later, but I'm sure that you'll find it's the same party with more strange voices. But
do you want me to talk about this, the tape, the phone message first, Commander?
Yes.
Okay. Well, before you, I'll give you, here's the copy to play. I transcribed it. It's so short because it'll be easier to, if I read it, and then you'll be able to make out more of what this idiot's saying. No, idiot's non-denominational.
It's also bisexual.
Well, I'll leave that to you. Anyway, around 2 to 3 this morning, there was a message on my answering machine that said, it's in a voice, if you can imagine, say, a younger actor trying to impersonate Orson Welles. So picture that and in his heavier days. And it came across like this. It said, "Mr. Young, my name is unimportant. You're going too far. The group you're affiliating yourself with is targeted for elimination. It would be best for you to disassociate yourself from the group in Tehachapi. You could be saved. Just get away from them. You understand what I mean." And then they hung up.
Let's play it. Maybe.
Is it plugged in?
I don't see any lights.
Details.
Plug in.
There's the power. The main power switch. There it is. Here we go.
My name is unimportant. You're going too far. The group you're affiliating yourself with is targeted for elimination. It would be best for you to disassociate yourself from the group in Tehachapi. You could be saved. Just get away from them. Okay? You understand what I mean.
Like he was plastered.
He might be serious too.
Yeah.
You want to play it again?
oscilloscope that we could play it back.
Okay, let's play it again and see if anybody can identify it. Shall we play 20 questions?
Mr. Young, my name is unimportant. You're going too far. The group you're affiliating yourself with is targeted for elimination.
The gun. Aren't you glad that we're not a group? I'm very serious, though, when I tell you it will not get better. But I would hang my hat with God any day. And we have only just begun. And we're about ready to start on some real serious things that are going to give them some real serious headaches. And I don't mean George Green. He was indeed foolish not to have let his ego allow him to participate. This is piddling. You have a nation in trouble, a world in trouble. You have already been invaded and taken by the communist Russians, which are Soviet Khazarian Jews. They are not Jewish. They're not Judean. This is the new Israeli homeland. It has been proclaimed. And it is now under the UN Charter, not the Constitution. But they haven't figured a way to completely dissolve the Constitution. They keep trying. The minute they can get together a convention, they will do that, if you let them. But my thrust on your earth place is not to establish your Constitution or save your ass. It is to bring our people home, to get a remnant through, to hopefully be able to establish a better way. And that can be on an island, or it can be on a mainland, or it can be offshore, of both. I'm not here to fight little gray aliens. I'm not here to fight big, tall aliens. I'm not here to fight the elite. The Khazarians, the Jews, the non-Jews, the Asians, they will do plenty of fighting amongst themselves. I would advise you to listen to me for your own protection. And I didn't say for your own good. Your own good is up to you. They are going to come against each other like nothing you have ever, ever imagined. Right after they try to starve you out, infest you out, kill you. These are piddling little human nitpickers. They're nothing. The higher elite does not fight with the hosts of God. How about that one? I know you say, and it is true, the real big fight is between God and Satan. Not really. Satan is a spin-off of God's thought. So it isn't between God and Satan. It could be between good and evil, and whoever represents those two opposite poles. Christ and Satan, both representative of a label or a definition of state of being. And it's as easy to call it Christ as it is Satan. You know what I mean. It gets more complicated when you mix up this Christ over here with Buddha, Maitreya, Jesus. It isn't as hard if you call him Isu Emmanuel. That was his name, the last man that represented this entity. You've got some over here that are representative of this Satan. Weishaupt, Henry Kissinger. You got some real doodads running around.
Doodads.
Are the big elite that will help us, sir. Wonderful, godly people. Come on, Warren Christopher. Norman Mailer. Rothstein. Ugh. And who was the head of this committee? Earl Warren, who wipes out presidents. And then has his own commission and writes a book and makes it fine. Are these godly people? No, but they sure know in reincarnation, don't they? And some of them are back, aren't they? They don't want you, but Henry Kissinger, I want you to enjoy reading his book. And I want you to enjoy reading what we're writing. Because he has been knighted, you know, by Queen Elizabeth. On the 20th of June, he became Sir God Kissinger or something. He can't be called Sir in the United States because of citizenship or something. This Russian British intelligence officer from the KGB and the British intelligence can't be called sir in the United States because he's a citizen of the United States. He is a traitor. He is a treasonist. He is all of those things. He's a slimy little wimp who has tantrums like little children if somebody steps on his toe. He goes and prances around naked with the rest of his buddies at Bohemian Grove and pees on the trees. And does homage and worship to a 25-foot owl. And they do their little satanic rituals in their black and their red hats. And these are the leaders of your nation. Every one of your presidents, go over there and do that. And beware of LaRouche, at least his organization. LaRouche is a shrewd man. He's being used. Note the names of the writings that come out about LaRouche, because they're saying now in the LaRouche material that Clinton's enemies are the same as LaRouche's enemies. You better listen to that. It doesn't matter about Clinton, but let me just tell you what they've recently said, and that is that these awful, terrible people have blamed poor little Clinton and Janet Reno for things like Waco and, you know, these innocent two